Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas together, you and me, thinking of things that we'd like to be see on the stage when we put them on, acting together and maybe sing a song.
And maybe sing a poem. Together.
Perfect.
That's how it always goes. What people don't realize is that, you know, like a lot of shows, they'll have a really long intro song, and then later on they won't bother playing the whole song. They'll just play a tiny snippet of it, yeah, for, you know, because it's like, yeah, people get it.
Yeah.
Well, we've actually been playing the shortened version for years. And that was the long version that we finally revealed.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, by playing the shortened version, I mean, it seems like it's been different every episode.
Yeah, but they've actually each been a different part of the same...
Component of the same song. And we've only finally... We finished it off. We wrapped it up. That's, yeah, a little...
And so if, you know, the keen-eared listener and the... If they went back and sort of edited out every intro song and pieced them all together to the end, then you would reveal the whole song.
Yeah,
it's been 172 episodes in the making, plus a couple of shorts,
and also the ones that aren't counted in that total, even though they are full episodes, because for some reason when we released them I decided to call them something different, have a different numbering system for the episodes. They were the ones that we thought we deleted, so there's maybe four or five of those or something.
Yeah,
anyway, Alistair, it's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure, and I'm just so happy that there's so much character development, but also show development during the show where we develop things.
Mm. Oh, yeah. This feels a little episodic. It does feel like, you know, Monster of the Week style storytelling, but there is an arc. Mm. Trust me, there is an arc, and I am on the way to finding the person who abducted my uncle.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That's what I've been doing this whole... What's your story been? What do you think your arc has been, Al?
Mine has been... I guess over the series I've gotten slightly more concerned about your financial well-being.
I mean, it felt like that was a sort of a pretty late season thing that they tried to put in there to maybe spice up the show. It didn't feel to me like it was totally there to begin with.
No, it wasn't there at the beginning.
Which is crazy, because at the beginning I reckon I had a heaps less money than I did then.
Yeah, but you had less burden as well.
Less burden. Yes, the burden.
You didn't have as many... mouths to keep alive.
Mm. But this is the thing. They don't tell you this, but it's not just the mouth you've got to keep alive.
Right.
Yeah?
Because
you look at the mouth and you're like, the mouth doesn't actually need all that much. The mouth is just a sort of a through, you know.
Mm-hmm. A lot of it's bone.
A lot of the mouth is bone.
Bone can last millions of years in
bone
dirt.
Bone is fine.
Bone, I'm not worried about bone. It's that soft tissue around the bone, but there's not that much. Is what you're saying.
Yeah,
but that
yeah.
tongue looks like it could use it.
It's quite fleshy. You think you need to keep the tongue sweet?
I think you got to get a lot of blood in there, and in order to get the blood, you got to support the heart and the other parts that make blood.
Now, when you die, I think your tongue falls out of your mouth.
Falls out. Like. As in detaches?
No,
salamander's tongue? A salamander's tail?
You don't realize that your tongue is always tense. Your entire life, your tongue has been tense.
Mm.
Okay? And then it's only in death that the tongue can finally relax. I think the tongue probably feels a lot of responsibility. Mm. The tongue was never meant for what we use it for, by the way.
That's true.
The tongue was only ever, like, you know, there to move stuff around in the mouth.
Hot things. Keep them up and keep them airborne.
Juggle balls of food that was too hot for you to hold in your hands, yep, and too hot to have contact with the lips, mm-hmm, but too delicious to blow on before, yeah, you shove it in your face.
Too delicious to wait.
Yeah. And, you know, to juggling that. And here we are using it to, like, shape words and communication. Mm. I imagine the tongue feels so much pressure.
Mm.
And, like, the sweet release of death, I think, for the tongue must be especially sweet.
It would, yeah. I think for the tongue, mm, awaits the day.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, the tongue may subtly be trying to undermine you at every step of the way, hoping for you to end it all so that it may finally relax.
This is why the tongue is the only part of the body that can kill you entirely by itself.
Oh yeah, because right? It can of go its own backwards free will into your throat.
Yeah.
Oh, what if I... Can you suck back enough, do you think, to actually just swallow your own tongue?
I'm definitely not going to try. Why would I even want to know about that?
Well, if you were going to do it, you would at least film it live on YouTube.
Correct.
Film it live. And ask for donations while it's happening.
Mm, yeah, I'll get a Patreon going.
I mean, do you think you could sort of raise money for some charity, maybe for some underprivileged group?
I'm trying to relax my tongue totally in my mouth right now.
It was really affecting your eyes. Do you think for 24 hours you could just be on there trying to suck back your tongue into your throat? For 24 hours, this person is a hero. He's attempting to swallow his own tongue.
For 24 hours.
To raise money for,
I don't know, scouts?
Scouts. Girl Scouts.
See, that's good.
They could use a boost right now.
Girl Scouts. Are there guides and Girl Scouts? I don't think there can be, right? You wouldn't split that out.
It's now I'm sure this is a horrible thing that the Scouts people and the guides people go through every day. We're not Scouts and we're not guides is what each of the opposite ones would say.
Yeah.
and the confused ones who are part of those things as well. Mm-hmm. So some of the confused Scouts who said, "We're not Scouts," and they go, "No, we are." And they go, "Oh,
yeah, this is one of the things they don't prepare you for. You know,
yeah,
the existential crisis. They prepare you in Scouts, they prepare you entirely for external sources of challenge.
Yep. They don't prepare you for the inner challenges.
Mm-hmm. There's no self-respect badge, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah,
because I think the thing about the self-respect badge is that you wouldn't need a badge, right? You don't need the external validation of the badge, and you also don't need people to see the badge.
Yeah, it's a badge on the inside.
It's a badge you wear on the inside. Yeah. Literally, you have to get keyhole surgery and have it sewed to the side of your stomach lining.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be great if you could just swallow it, and it just gets stuck. Like, it's
it has
adhesive.
Some sort of little things that go shit. From the side and sticks on. It waits until it's through your esophagus. It has some sort of thing that dissolves or some sort of little crystalline thing.
Yeah, it waits for stomach acid.
Yeah, yeah. It dissolves in the stomach acid, and then shing!
Releases the blades.
Yeah.
Release the blades.
Yeah, and then into the lining.
Mm. And that'd be nice.
Inner strength. That's what.
Well, yeah, okay. Then you would actually have to have inner strength to put up with the pain.
Mm. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a reminder, though, isn't it? I don't know if you'd feel pain in your stomach. Do you feel pain in your stomach? Do you have pain receptors in your stomach? You definitely do. People clutch their stomachs all the time in pain.
Really?
Don't they?
Oh, I know, but is that the stomach that's in pain?
I don't know.
Could be something outside.
Could be something.
It could be their pain receptors that are in pain.
How good is it that parts of the body can do referred pain to, you know, other parts of the body?
Is that good?
Well,
it always seems weird to me where they're like, "Ah, my shoulder is sore." Oh, that means your leg is damaged.
Yeah. Well, I think it's you know that you got a canny leg. You know,
Canny leg.
Not gammy. No. Canny.
What's that mean?
Oh, it's clever.
Oh.
It's like sending the pain, making the shoulder hurt.
That is canny. But, or is it canny or is it dumb? Because then you're
not going to try and fix the leg.
Yeah.
You're right.
But maybe the leg doesn't want to be fixed.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe the leg is worried that its flaws are the only thing that make it interesting.
Mm, yeah. And it's trying to seem like it has inner strength, but it has to do something with that pain. It can't just hold on to it, bottle it up.
So there's some kind of a toxic relationship where on the outside the leg seems perfect. Mm. Everyone looks at the leg and says, God, the leg's got so much going on. But then when you see the leg at home alone with the shoulder, you realise how the leg treats the shoulder.
Well, the leg's been putting sort of bleach into the shoulder soup.
Yeah. Fuck. I always assumed he was just trying to bleach the soup. Make a nice clear soup.
I thought he was trying to make sweet potato look like potato.
Yeah. They have those stories about people saying, oh, you can't buy such and such from China because they put bleach in the rice or they put bleach in the in this or that. Is that true? Do they bleach? Do people really bleach foods?
I don't know, Andy. I assume there's maybe some truth.
I just want to know who these people who are running businesses where they're selling bulk quantities of food, right? And they are, you know, it costs a lot of money, I imagine, to like set up a factory to do this kind of thing, right? And to market it, and you know, you've got to get employees, and those employees need, you know, payroll and all that sort of thing. There's a whole infrastructure around this thing, right? And then like, I don't know how many days into running this company you are, but you're like, well, we should just chuck some bleach in this.
Sure.
Then suddenly everybody's dying, right? All your customers are dying.
Well, if that was happening, I think then you would have to, you'd put in the wrong amount of bleach.
But why are you putting in bleach at all?
To make it look better?
Yeah, sure. But you're putting toxic stuff in your food.
Sure. I know. But I think food fraud is a huge thing.
Food fraud.
Yeah, food fraud is a huge industry. Mm-hmm. You know, like, for example, spices.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, you can often put just powders that are flavorless that kind of look roughly like the same powder that
I feel like I definitely got that with a bag of coriander one time. He bought a huge bag of coriander from some place.
Yeah.
Got home, no flavor at all.
That's food fraud.
Far out.
You were the victim of food fraud.
I feel like a food fool.
Well, you are.
Mm.
Now, is within anything that we've said now
any
sketch?
Oh.
So either the tongue,
yeah,
or food fraud.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean, victims of food fraud does sound like a fun group.
It sounds like a great band.
Mm.
Victims of food fraud.
Do we know anybody who needs a name for their band?
No.
Or what was the other thing that George now needs a name for?
Oh, he's starting a company.
Yeah.
He's going to become a self-employed businessman, and he needs a name for that as well. Anyway, one thing at a time. Victims of food fraud, that'll make a great name for a company.
Mm.
That's ticked off.
Yeah.
Victims of food fraud. One of the largest food fraud cases in history. An entire food pyramid scheme. Healthy eating pyramid scheme.
Yeah, I think the whole food pyramid scheme. Food pyramid? Food pyramid scheme. Could you do it with anything other than money?
What do you mean?
Well, what is it with, like, food, like a pyramid scheme? It's like people have to get people under them to sell things or whatever, but what about instead? It's like it's like a co-op, and people are getting paid in food, and then they get people under them, and every time they pay a bit of that person,
have to give some of their food.
They have to give some food to you, and then you got to give some of your food up to the person at the top.
Great, but it's fresh food, and it's all going off.
Yes,
everybody's like taking their cut, taking a little nibble of whatever, but.
Just bite, taking a bite of the bread.
By the time it gets to the person at the top of the pyramid, all the food is rancid.
And all the drinks have backwash.
Yes.
30% is backwash.
Backwash sounds like a good name for a crime show from the 70s, don't you think? Backwash.
Yeah. Or a crime show from today about the 70s.
Really good. Yeah. How does that work?
So it's just a period piece.
From today about the 70s. Oh, okay, right. I thought it was criminal. It was like police of today, but all the crimes are from the 70s. I guess that's a kind of a cold case.
Well, I've got an idea. Well, how about this show? Yeah. Hot Case.
Hot Case.
Right?
Really good.
It's two people.
Yes.
Who, two detectives.
Yes.
Who go back over solved crimes and see if the evidence points to anything else.
That's Closed Case.
Oh, I know, but we're calling it Hot Case.
Surely Hot Case is like crimes that are currently being ably investigated by somebody else who has a lot of leads and is doing quite well. Yeah. And in Hot Case, somebody else comes along and tries to investigate it at the same time, and see if they can beat them.
Maybe derail them.
Yeah.
Oh, it's almost like a case race.
Yeah, case race. It's, but you know, so they've just the people investigating the case,
mm-hmm.
they've successfully got a confession from the lead suspect.
Yeah.
And the people from Hot Case are coming and they're like, give me 5 minutes alone with him. I reckon I could get him, you know, I don't know.
To change his?
No, they just get it out of him again. But more and faster.
Or they try to file the report before the other guy does?
Yeah.
Hot Case.
I think that's really good. I would write that down as a sketch.
Okay, wait. So
Hot Case, case race, investigation. Hot Case, something, I need some initials, right? Like SVU or something like that.
I've got Hot Case, Case Race.
Case Race. Yeah, but I wanted some, like, three initials, like...
B-L Sigma.
So,
Sigma Lambda, Lambda, Chow.
You've just given me a fraternity, haven't you?
Well, chow, that's not a Greek letter.
It's Andy. Not?
No.
It should be.
Chow.
Tau, that's a Greek letter.
Tau?
Tau. Isn't that T-A-U?
Maybe. Sigma, know. Lambda, chow.
I don't know how to feel about any of this.
Chow, it's an Italian word.
Right.
But it also sounds like it could be like a Chinese last name.
Yeah, or a Chinese letter, maybe.
Or a Chinese number.
Mm.
Maybe.
Let's make a movie called Sigma Kappa Phi, right?
Yeah.
But Kappa is C-A-P-P-E-R, and it's Warwick Kappa, the Australian rules footballer mm-hmm. who wore those tight shorts in the 80s.
Yeah.
Right?
And appeared in Playboy.
And appeared in Playboy, right? And who now is just like a personality who
makes
apparently
money being himself.
Makes money being himself and charges people money to come to their parties and hangs out with you and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, he goes back to college, but in America, right?
Okay.
And he's in some sort of frat of some kind.
And he does really well.
He does really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he turns his life around. In the end, he has to sort of do some sort of debate on the school science team. You know, one of those science debates.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how they achieve the truth in science through debate?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's right. Yeah. I guess they must achieve
persuasive
something through
argument.
Debate, at least like...
In science?
I think
only like appointing people to the head of some kind of like...
Or...
Organization.
Or deciding, you know, what
What the strength of gravity is.
No, no, no.
No,
Maybe like what the kitchenette cleaning roster is.
Mm. But what do you think about a scientific method where it's all resolved through debate, right? An alternative universe in where all the, you know, the constants of the universe aren't detected, aren't measured using sophisticated technology. They're all sorted out, you know.
Through the Socratic method?
Through the... I mean, I guess I'm just describing ancient Greece, aren't I?
Yeah, but I mean... You could bring it back because I think there is an aspect of these like a lot of these people who are around who are a bit like skeptical of the world. And they're also a bit skeptical of evidence because they're like, well, I can find you the exact same amount of evidence showing for the opposite side. And they don't realize that some evidence has better value than others.
Yeah, well, I mean, where's your evidence for that?
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
Like, you'd then have to go and find evidence that their evidence is bad. And now you've had to find twice as much evidence as they have, which makes you look, you know, like you're overreaching.
Yeah, that's right.
It makes you look desperate. Suddenly you've got defensive. All this extra evidence. You're like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Trying a bit too hard.
What about, I mean, I like this idea, but I like the spirit of it. But what about like the new scientific method?
That's a good spin on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I think we need one. Fresh. It's like the Fresh Testament.
Like the Fresh Testament.
Mm-hmm. We've come up with twice on the podcast, probably.
And then somebody sent us a thing showing that somebody had actually come up with the Fresh Testament.
Yeah, I think there was a picture of Christ riding a dinosaur.
Oh, no, maybe it was the Bible, too.
The Bible, too.
Yeah, no, I don't know if anybody's called theirs the Fresh Testament.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that you could add to the scientific method and make it satirical.
Yes.
By saying it's like, well, part of the new scientific method is how...
Is retweets.
And how angrily... How angrily you present your...
How loud you can shout.
Yeah.
We still use advanced technology, you know, apparatus, equipment, that sort of scientific equipment in order to determine the truth of things. But we just use it to measure the volume that you're shouting at when you propose your theorem.
Yeah, and somebody else, and you can make other theorems lose credibility by calling the people who propose them fucking idiots.
Yeah, or phonies, or accusing them of being bought and paid for. You know, by the are they only doing this to get funding? You know, all the climate scientists, all the unanimous voice of climate science is apparently because that's, you know, they need to say that in order to get their research funding, you know, which, by the way, what an amazing argument. Because when people go into, you know, research science, they're doing it for the money. Absolutely no question. If I want the big bucks, what I do is I go into quite dry academic fields and I work in research.
Yeah, and struggle.
You know, I don't go and, you know, take money, any fucking amount of money, as much money as you want, to just be a hack saying whatever the fossil fuel industry.
You don't do that?
I don't do that. No. No, I work a thankless job in obscurity, toiling away, measuring, like, you know, almost impossible, you know, just unbelievably difficult things, drilling holes in the ice caps.
Mm.
That's what I do. That's where the money's at.
Yeah, I know, but how cool would it be, though, to get to drill? Just to drill, go out into the empty.
You know what? If they're not doing it for the money, they're doing it just to get doing that drilling.
Yeah, you can get a good selfie doing that.
Those ice cores?
Ice
core drilling. Yeah.
I mean, how nice would it be just to have that nice long piece of ice?
Nice core.
Do you think they ever put a piece of that ice in their drink?
Every single time.
Yeah.
You can have ice in your drink from thousands of years ago. Which has a different carbon dioxide content.
That's right.
See, let's take some of that information that they're finding out, right? Take some of this stuff that it's all a bit negative, right? It's all a bit about, you know, the world is warming and the carbon dioxide and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
What if you say, we've found that ice from 18,000 years ago has a much lower carbon dioxide content, and so it's more delicious in a martini.
Great.
Yeah. See, well, now I mean,
it would go better with a fizzy kind of thing, you know, maybe.
Sure.
That has a high
high carbon, so there's more contrast.
Does your carbonated drink,
yes,
your soda waters, your sody waters, maybe, if you prefer, your seltzer?
Spritz?
Your spritzed liquid.
Mm.
Yeah, your sody pop.
Can of pop.
Do you think that due to the high amount of carbon dioxide in it, that it experiences the greenhouse effect on a sort of micro level?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think, do you think your drink gets warmer in a warm room faster if it's carbonated than if it is, if it isn't?
Now, I'm going to say yes. I think there's only that tiny little bit of air at the top, isn't there? Or a tiny little bit of gas at the very top of the bottle. I think that would mostly be carbon dioxide. And I think because of the way carbon dioxide interacts with infrared heat, you know, it's been radiated out from the surface of the earth.
But doesn't the carbon dioxide also remain in the bubbles?
Yeah, it's in the bubbles as well. But I don't think bubbles are there when it's closed, right? The bubbles don't form. When it's, there aren't bubbles in the water when the can is closed, when the bottle isn't opened.
Okay.
It's just dissolved in the water as carbonic acid, I want to say.
Sure. I mean, I wanted you to say that.
Yeah. And it's when you open the can, you change the pressure, you release the pressure that carbon dioxide is able to dissolve out of the liquid, forming the bubbles.
It's free.
It's finally free.
Finally free. Yeah. To do what it wants, to become a bubble.
Finally free to do what it wants.
But
to become a bubble.
That.
But that's only short-lived, right? Because then it gets to the surface.
But I wasn't talking about your drink that's in a bottle. I was talking about a glass.
Oh, right. Well, I think that's very hard to say, Alistair.
No, I don't think it is hard to say.
No, okay.
Watch me say it, Andy.
Okay, great.
A glass with bubbles in it, bubbles filled with carbon dioxide, gets warmer at a faster rate than one with no carbon dioxide bubbles in it.
Okay.
I mean, Andy, that was so easy to say.
You're right. That was so easy.
And it's all
you
because...
You made it look so easy.
It's because of the climate change in the glass. Climate change in a glass. Are you a mixologist?
Climate.
Are you a mixologist, Andy?
No, I never...
Well, that's maybe one of the reasons why you don't pay attention to some of these tiny details like this. Are you an award-winning drink maker?
A mixologist?
A mixologist, Andy.
No.
I mean, your answer hasn't changed, so I don't see why your knowledge would have changed. And
do you think that the... Of all the ologists,
yeah.
Do you think the mixologist is the lowest of the ologists?
Actually, Andy, I don't think so, because I had a problem recently.
Yeah?
With my mix.
Oh, okay.
And luckily, because of the great healthcare system in this country,
fine nation of ours, best bloody country on earth.
And I'm not afraid to say that
you were able to see a mixologist.
No, but that's because of there's a small amount of socialism in our. You know, it's capitalism.
Oh, sure.
Yes. But
headline billing, capitalism.
Capitalism. But there's some socialism
supporting
in
cast.
There that helps us not have to pay thousands of dollars for medical treatment.
Yeah.
And you know who helped create that perfect blend between capitalism and socialism?
A mixologist.
It was a mixologist. Right? And I think those mixologists, but also they don't just do different economic systems. Mm-hmm. They also do, you know, the mix in your body.
Well, what you'll see in public debate, right, is that people with one area of expertise suddenly start giving their opinion on other areas of expertise. That's why you have, you know, geologists and even psychologists and that sort of thing chipping in, appearing as experts, talking about climate change, right? Even though, you know, they're not climate scientists per se. I think a mixologist, you know, they know about mixing. They know about getting the right quantities of things.
That's right.
Right? Why can't they chip in and say, you know, what they think about social mixing, say, or the mix of socialism and capitalism in Australia's economic setup? Makeup.
Yeah. Or how much water is required to turn a sand pit into a quicksand pit?
Exactly. I don't see why a mixologist couldn't play the role almost of a Rasputin, You know, coming in, talking to our leaders,
whispering
in their ear. Yeah.
Helping cure their children.
Yes.
Of any kind of mix-based ailments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sleeping with their tsarinas and generally, you know, having a big influence.
Well, right?
Because they
is
know
a
about
mix.
Mixing. Everything is mixing.
Everything is mixing.
Nothing is just a thing. Everything is a mix.
Eating is mixing.
It's
taking you and mixing it with other.
Mm-hmm. Even unmixing things is mixing because it's taking things that are mixed and mixing them with things that aren't.
Mm.
You know, if I'm trying to get all the gold out of some crushed rock,
yep.
What am I doing? I'm getting those little gold particles and I'm mixing them with the other gold particles.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Unmixing is mixing.
That's right. And accelerating is...
Decelerating.
Is a form of decelerating.
Which is a form of... Which is mixing.
Which is also mixing. Because you're mixing...
Speed with less speed.
And speeding with... Accelerating with braking. I like to use both pedals at the same time.
You're mixing going somewhere with stopping.
That's right.
Those two things don't seem to go together.
No.
And yet a good mixologist is able to find the right blend.
And it was thanks to the mixologist, you know, that because I used to, when I drove a manual, I used to ride the clutch a lot.
Mm.
But it was thanks to a mixologist that I learned how to ride the accelerator and the brake.
And squeeze a little bit of lime onto the pedals.
Onto that and onto my tongue.
It's starting to sound to me like mixology is a new religion, you know?
Sure, but it's not real religion, though. It's science.
It's science. Oh, sure, it's science.
It's the first science-based religion.
Yeah, it's that perfect blend of science and religion.
Science, religion, and flavor.
Yeah.
Because there's not a lot of religions right now that are based on flavors.
You're absolutely right. Like, they almost seem to try and take flavor out of things. Like those communion wafers. Mm. There's not a lot going on there flavor-wise, is there? You know, and even the red wine, it's not like a specific, as far as I'm aware. I've never tried it. I've never even tasted a communion wafer. I don't like to apologize for going out there and saying any of this.
I have had bags and bags of communion wafers.
Oh, really?
Because my grandpa used to
Is this true?
Yeah, he used to get just like, I think the trimmings. I don't know where he would get this, but you could just snack on it.
Your grandfather would get the trimmings of communion wafers.
Yeah, you can get them trimmings.
How?
Well, I don't know. I guess
where was your grandfather?
Montreal.
Right.
And as you know.
Oh, sure. I've got a grandfather in Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets heaps. He gets all the communion trimmings he wants.
Well, as you know, Quebec used to be a theocracy, right?
Is that true?
I think it was pretty much a theocracy.
Yeah, wow.
You know, basically under the rule of the church, right? And
now, of course, they're under the rule of that bloody maple syrup corporation, aren't they?
Yeah.
Whoever that
Justin
one is.
Justin Trudeau.
No, yeah, him. I think all the maple syrup in Canada is pretty much controlled by the one.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Thing. Yeah, that's how they get the price so high.
Big maple syrup.
Big maple.
Mm. And maples are big.
Mm.
Yeah.
Checks out.
Anyway, you know, so because of that big church industry, they you know, they thought they would have a lot of communion wafer manufacturing in town, sometimes maybe even in-house.
Now, the offcuts of communion wafers, I assume those are the sort of the toenails and the hair of Christ?
Yeah, they're definitely, but they could also be his clothes.
Oh, yeah,
you
okay.
You know, things like that, because I think when they turned them into...
His shit?
Well, maybe. I mean, I guess he would have had something. He's like a prawn. Or a shrimp, you know, you got to take that entrail out. But I think when they made them into bread and wafers, they just put them into like a big grinder.
Yeah.
They didn't clean them off. They didn't.
Sure, they didn't shuck him.
Yeah, he was the one who cleaned, remember? He was the cleaner. They're not going to. Who cleans the cleaner?
Nobody
does.
Nobody does. The cleaner's filthy.
A cleaner has to either doesn't get cleaned or has to clean themselves.
Or get cleaned by another cleaner?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you're right. That was a really good solution.
And funny. You know?
Anyway,
I think the offcuts of the communion wafers is a sketch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, off cuts.
When they punch them out, ching, 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 yeah. ching. Were they how were they shaped, these off cuts?
Well, it would have been just like, so think they would have just been sheets.
Are they square? They're round.
They would have been like rectangular sheets.
Yep.
But then the wafers are circular.
Right.
And so they're just stamping out these
and
wafers.
And you're eating these little sort of little star-shaped kind of broken bits of fistfuls of them.
Well, just, yeah, it's like a sheet with all the circles missing.
All right, and you get it as a sheet, or you it would get be it all broken sheet. Up, wouldn't it?
I think maybe partially broken up, but, I mean, like, yeah. The trimmings, they don't give a shit about, what good shape they're
in.
They're just like, look, if we can make a couple of bucks selling this to that old guy.
He apparently gives it to his grandson. Yeah. He eats them by the fistful.
Yeah.
What do they taste like? Nothing? Am I right? That they've got very like little flavor?
You know those biscuits that are like those cream... kind of cream wafer type things. It looks like a waffle crinkle wafer.
Mm.
And then it's got that some fake sugar
cream
thing.
We used to eat those heaps.
Yeah.
That's just brought back, that was like a real big thing for us growing up. I don't think I've seen one in...
Yeah, they still exist, I think. But you don't encounter them very much in your life these days. But those so it's just...
Do you think biscuits have come a long way? Do you think we've sort of... I don't know, edged out all those old biscuits, the wafer, those wafer biscuits and stuff. Wafer thin? Were they called a wafer thin, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, wafer thin.
Or waffle? Waffle wafer?
Waffle wafer?
Waffle wafer thin?
Waffle wafer thin.
Sorry, I was talking over you a lot there, Alistair. You were trying to say stuff and I was being... bad.
Andy, so it's the same concept as the wafer in that. But it's not stamped to look all crinkled and waffly, like that.
But it's not puffed.
No, there's no puff.
It's not rising.
I think they got that effect through layering in the biscuit.
Yeah. Is it layered then?
No, this one isn't layered.
Oh, right.
this one.
And it's not sweet either, is it?
It's not sweet, no. It's kind of like eating paper. It's like edible paper.
Used to love eating paper.
Yeah.
Someone told me it had rat poison in it. I was like, oh.
I heard they put bleach in it.
Yeah, bleach. Yeah. Well, that's
another thing they tell you.
That checks out, though.
They say that in toilet paper as well. You go, yeah, okay, so does my toilet.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're like unbleached or bleached.
Yeah. I don't know, but you go, well, it doesn't matter. It has bleach. I bleach my toilet.
Yeah, but you don't bleach your asshole.
People do.
Sure, I guess people do bleach your asshole.
I can if I want to.
That's my prerogative.
I think maybe this offcuts of communion wafers might be a bit of stand-up or something. Well, maybe there's like a...
I think there's
a sketch in
no,
there?
Well, I mean, you know, which bits of Jesus' body they
are. Yeah, I think that's fun.
That's a thing, you know. They're at the... Maybe at the communion wafer factory, so where they're stamping them out or whatever.
They just have a stall there or, you just go in. You know, like those places that don't
know... Tynala Christ.
Tynala Christ. Eyeball of Christ.
Yeah.
Cornea.
Mm. With the bottle with the bottles of wine.
Yeah.
Do they shake them up or something to just shake all the sediment through? Or what? I mean, what happens to the sediment?
In a bottle of wine.
In the body when you're giving it to Christ, that's Christ's blood in that bottle.
Yeah. And so what is the?
Sorry
sediment?
About all the blasphemy in this episode, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not something I set out to do.
Wow, this wasn't even registering to me as anything that could even be considered
great.
Bad.
Great, good. Well, I'm glad I brought it up, but also I'm happy to move on.
Speaking flippantly about the things that some people value.
Yeah, care deeply about and define their lives and also help them and make them happy.
I know, but I think...
But also make them obnoxious sometimes.
I know, but I think using a belief to define your life is also a bad thing. And that would be the cornerstone of the belief system that I want to create.
And that's one of the... I stand by that. I thought of a great word to describe our political system in Australia.
Yeah.
Mate, we're not living in a democracy. We're living in an obnoxiocracy. Because everyone's so obnoxious.
Oh, yeah.
All those leaders are so obnoxious. Obnoxiocracy.
Yeah, that's something.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, no, it's definitely something.
Yeah?
Andy.
Great.
You would need...
Tweet it?
You would need at least 10 philosophers to successfully get one to correctly argue that was nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you reckon? What's the sort of the pack size when you're buying philosophers? Six? Probably get six philosophers in a pack. So I'd have two philosophers left over.
Mm.
Right, and that's good. You can put those in the fridge and have an argument with them later.
Yeah, I don't think they'd be very expensive. So I think you could probably get a 36-pack.
36-pack of philosophers?
Yeah.
Wow. That's good.
I always worry about philosophers getting people pregnant. I don't know how they can...
You mean like modern-day philosophers, people who've done a philosophy degree or something like that, studied philosophy. Yeah. You worry about them getting someone pregnant and then it's like... Who's going to look after this child?
Yeah, but
your philosophy is not going to sustain.
It's not even just that. I think I saw a documentary about Zizek, and I saw he had a young child, and I was like, oh, I'm worried about that kid. You know, and Zizek's doing quite well.
Yeah, right.
There's even a school of Zizek studies somewhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Zizek. It's just a fun sound. God, yeah. A good name.
He's a fun sound to listen to.
Zizek.
Sounds
like a zipper.
Obnocracy. I'm sorry that I didn't know where to go with it.
No, there's nowhere to go with it. It's just a pithy thing to say, you know, mate. That's a bloody obnocracy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if somebody hearing obnocracy would even cotton on that it was to do with the word obnoxious.
Mm. It's got the word knob in it.
Obnob.
Yeah. Obnob. And that's the thing British people say. Hobnob.
They do.
Because once I got a photo...
Actually, it doesn't have the word knob in it.
Obnobcracy. Oh, yeah, you're right. But it has the feeling like it has the
it
word obnob.
It does feel like it has a knob in it.
You see, I don't read words as they are. I read their feel.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, some words, you're a feel reader. A
feel reader. I read your feels.
Mm-hmm.
One time I was in a photo. I did community television here. And I appeared on the show with Dr. Carl from Neighbours.
Mm.
And
he was on the community TV show.
He was on the community TV show.
Was this acting? Were you acting with him, or was it?
No. We were just appearing as guests, or maybe I was doing a stand-up spot, and he was appearing as a guest.
Yep.
And then we got a photo in the green room together, and I posted it on my social media. And then a British person accused me of being a hobnobber.
Really?
I think it was an accusation, and I think it was thrown at me.
Hobnob. Now, a hob, is that a part of an oven? A knob is also a part of an oven.
Hmm. This is getting
very
intense.
They're accusing you of being an oven?
Or parts of an oven. Well, but then...
Maybe a hobnobber is somebody who goes up to the hob, the oven, and is always fiddling with the knobs, like when somebody's playing with the stations in a radio, you know, in a car.
And
you bloody hobnobber, you're knobbing the hobs.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a knob hobber. No, hobnobber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless I'm knobbing the hobs. So I'm using my penis and putting it on the hobs.
On the hob?
Yeah, I'm knobbing it.
Yep.
To knob it would be to sort of mash
your
breeding finger.
Has that been used?
I don't think so.
I think breeding finger is your welcome standard of debate these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
I think such a classy thing to call somebody. Oh, he was a real breeding finger. You know?
Yeah.
Because it's both of those words are totally innocuous. Certainly. Breeding and finger, there's nothing saucy about either of them.
No.
And yet put them together, don't you think? You know, breeding, finger, nothing about those. Either of those words would ever for a second make you think anything untoward. And yet put them together.
Yeah.
And almost by magic, the magic of mixology.
Yes.
You've created a cocktail.
Yes.
Right?
Again, two words.
Two words that have nothing suspicious, innuendic about them. And...
Yeah.
Mm. Breeding finger. Can you write down breeding finger?
As a sketch?
As a word.
Just I'll write down the word.
Yeah, as a phrase. Look, I don't see why we can't get breeding finger into the discourse in some way or another. I'm always thinking I want to come up with the new clusterfuck. Because I feel like the word clusterfuck, when it first came out, that word,
yeah.
it was a very exciting time because you're like, this is the best word.
Mm.
You can use it for almost anything and you sound like you're a cool guy who sort of dismisses things but is also rude, you know, cool.
Yeah, cool. Yeah?
But also somebody who's like, sounds like you know enough about stuff to know when stuff isn't good.
Yes, absolutely.
You know? And also you know this new word and it's fun to say. Anyway, I don't, and now obviously everyone calls everything a clusterfuck.
Absolutely.
When we overused it, it's no longer any fun. Mm. You don't sound special using that word.
Do you think the fire festival was a clusterfuck?
Yeah, probably. Yes, it absolutely was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about American politics right now?
Oh, tell you what, that's an obnocracy.
Well, you're right. That is name. You've applied mixology well. I was just trying to call back to something.
I see you know your mixology well. Breeding Finger. Look, maybe even a band.
Really?
Well, just saying things are a band name, though, is also... I'm over it.
Okay, well, how about we say a new thing?
Mm.
How about this? Oh, that would be a great flavor of ice cream. Yeah?
I mean, I like it. Yeah. It's different. It's perhaps not quite as versatile or like probably breeding finger.
Yeah.
I don't think I could persuasively sell that that's a great flavor of ice cream. Yeah.
You don't think so?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But I mean, wouldn't it be interesting if someone actually did make an ice cream that tasted like a finger?
Oh, like, hang on, what time of day are we tasting the finger? Because I feel like the finger, first thing after the shower, very, very different taste to like a 5 p.m., 6 p.m. finger.
It's an ice cream that tastes like a freshly showered finger.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little bit of soap.
You recognize it as soon as you taste it. Yeah. You go,
is that a washed finger?
That tastes like somebody's just washed their finger and popped it in my mouth.
And you know what? I reckon that should be the flavor instead of vanilla. Because vanilla is, and this has been commented upon, vanilla, we treat that as plain.
Mm.
But it's not. It's a very specific, quite strong, quite weird flavor, really, vanilla.
It's very weird, isn't it?
Yeah. And, well, you know, it comes from the bark of some tree that only grows in Borneo or something like that. Anyway.
Oh, Borneo.
Not Borneo.
Come on.
Somewhere else. There's somewhere where they're denuding a whole lot of rainforests.
Oh, what's Burma?
Burma. It's probably Burma.
The Borneo of the mainland.
Yeah.
Is Borneo an island?
Borneo is an island.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. Correct. It's where the Sultan of Brunei lives.
Wait, what did we just come up with as a sketch idea?
Freshly washed finger. That should be the new vanilla because you think about it, like, Back in the day, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're eating things. You're eating with your hands.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You're eating with your hands. Mm-hmm. You're tasting the flavor of the food.
Yeah.
Now imagine you're eating something that has no flavor whatsoever. What are you tasting? You're just tasting the fingers that you're using to put the food into your mouth, right? That is the cosmic background radiation of flavor that should be with us at all times. Either that or the flavor of the tongue or the flavor of like saliva.
Mm. Yeah.
Fresh saliva.
That would be a great attempt.
Fresh saliva?
Fresh saliva.
Mm.
That's a great flavor. I think, this, because I think if you're going to start an ice cream company today, you got to be bold.
There's so many ice cream companies.
So many ice cream. There's Ben and Jerry's.
Yes.
And then there's the Nestle one, probably have one.
Yeah, they'd have one. Yeah. Unilever, they probably
have one.
They probably got two.
Yeah.
You know, different brands in different countries.
And the rest.
Yes.
You know?
So that's at least three. If you count the rest, that's four.
Yeah, and that's at least three if we were right about the ones that we were guessing.
Yeah. Yeah, but even if we weren't, there's probably others.
That's right.
So I reckon base level, absolute minimum, there are three or four.
Or four.
Ice cream companies in the world.
Yeah.
Places that and have so it now, and sell it.
If you want to break into
that
market.
And you think about them, how many flavors does each of those have?
At least three or four each.
Three or four each.
One ice cream that has at least three flavors in it.
In it, yeah. Jeez, they must have been feeling confident when they started just chucking flavors in together.
Mm.
You know, got flavors to burn.
That's not the kind of thing that an insecure person does.
Not at all.
Unless they're really insecure.
Oh, no.
And they go, oh, maybe vanilla's not going to be enough. We should put chocolate and lime.
And pink.
Pink.
Do
you see I tried to say, like, Neapolitan was going to be a different one?
Yeah, I didn't.
I tried
that.
To mix it up.
That's good.
Freshly, like...
This is Neapolitan-politan. It has Neapolitan on one side, and then chocolate, and then vanilla.
That's a great idea.
Thanks.
And I think maybe...
Because really, the pink is the last one. Nobody wants... In the end, think of which one's left over at the end.
Yeah, it's pink.
It's always the pink.
Or chocolate.
Or what?
No,
what
are
you, why would you say that?
Is this
a prank?
Yeah, it was a huge prank. Andy, you've been part of my YouTube prank show.
Just kidding. It's not really on YouTube. It's on Vimeo. You've been got again.
I got ya.
Yes.
Oh, although I am playing some of it. Some of my YouTube, my Vimeo show on YouTube to get people checked. So
yes,
you've been triple done.
Yes.
Except that second one, you were pretty right in thinking, but not entirely. I think what I like about the idea of a sort of finger or hand and finger flavored food as well is that you eat it with a utensil.
Mm.
You know, and for once you're eating fingers and with, you know, like it's like fingers in a spoon.
Mm.
Andy, were you trying to relax your tongue again? Your eyes went real limp again.
No, I was trying to, in fact, probably just relax my brain in a way that would allow me to say it, to just accommodate whatever it was you were about to say. And I'm glad I did, because otherwise I could have hurt myself.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you're falling out of a plane.
Yeah.
If you're very relaxed, you'll survive.
That's true. You gotta be so relaxed.
So relaxed.
What do you think about when you're falling from a plane to relax so that you don't hurt yourself when you land on the ground? Let's say it doesn't have to be a necessary plane. You could be falling out of a chairlift.
Yeah, okay. Oh, wow. So I don't have long. I got to get into this state of relaxation in seconds.
You got to really relax.
I was thinking at least when I'm falling out of the plane, I got time to sort of come to terms with some
stuff.
Take
a few breaths and things like that. But you know what?
You've fallen out of a chairlift. You've got to have your mantra. Your mantra's got to be punchy. Whatever it is that gets you to that zen place.
Yeah.
You don't have time to listen to a full episode of Shusha, Alistair's new podcast.
No.
Guided meditation podcast. Shusha, very good.
Very available on all podcast places.
All of them.
It's a relaxing comedy podcast.
Mm.
That's what I should put as the word.
A relaxing comedy podcast.
Yeah. No, wait, a relaxing comedy meditation.
That's good too.
Guided meditation.
It's really very good.
Oh, relaxing.
People
comedy.
Have been leaving reviews and stuff and getting
been so
in touch
nice.
With you personally and I mean, saying how good it is.
People have been saying it's been helping them sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, that helps me sleep when they say that. And when people say that.
When they tell me that, I say, would you mind coming around to my house and whispering that to me while I'm in bed?
While asleep over music.
Yeah.
Or under
that's
music.
That's my shusha.
Mm.
Shusher.
Shusher. So anyway, thank you to all of anybody who's listened or who is about to listen and is about to check out Shusher Guided Meditations. And now I'm going to go back to doing the sketch part.
Hey, I'd like to also thank the people who will get out their phone to being like, oh, that's a good idea. Get out their phone to like download it or something and then see something else on their phone and get distracted and never get around to it. Because they had the best will in the
absolutely.
World.
Absolutely. None of us have the strength of mind
nobody,
to
no
just
one
turn on
expect
our phones and get to what we were trying
to do.
To do
what you were intending to do? No, that's crazy. No one would expect that of you.
No. Because I think it's fair that if you go to your phone, that before you do what you should do, you should just check to see if there's any notifications.
Correct.
on anything.
You know how you turned off notifications on Facebook so that you could get more done?
Mm.
Better open Facebook and just check if there are any notifications in the application.
That's
because
right.
Since you've turned it off, you don't get those notifications anymore. So if anything, you're opening it more just to check to see whether there are any. And then sometimes it says there are like 47 notifications and you click on it and it's like, oh no, wait, there are none. You're like, well then, like, I mean, I didn't expect there to be 47. There were none this morning. And you suddenly tell me there's 47 notifications. I look and I'm like, well, there aren't any. I don't know why I thought, I don't know why I thought there would be that many. That, like, that would be crazy. I would have had to be implicated in some kind of world event for enough people to want to get in touch with me. But then they would have DM'd me. I would have got messages through my Messenger app. Why would they be showing up? Like, nobody sees that I'm involved in some kind of world event and then posts on my wall. Nobody posts on anybody's wall now anyway.
Only dumb joke questions that you want everybody else to see.
Yeah, sure. But why would those arise from a world event?
People in the real world, right? People in the real world who aren't in, let's say, the inner Planet Broadcasting friends world that we are in, sort of the inner group, not the sort of great mates, people who are actually friends, say, with Nick Mason, they might not know that in that world we all have a joke where we post on Nick Mason's wall, hi Nick,
I
have a tram question, and then you wait until he goes yes
and then you ask him your question some dumb tram question.
Yeah.
I wonder who was the first person to ask him a tram question.
It might have been Nellie White.
It feels like Nellie White.
Yeah, she's a pioneer. She's, you know, and that doing asking that question is sort of like the entering Arizona for the first time and sort of planting a flag in the ground and saying this belongs to me. And people have tried to, you know, fight her off.
She's the patient zero of entering Arizona to plant a flag.
Entering Arizona. That would have been the porn version of Raising Arizona. Which I don't know, might have been a movie about a baby, and I apologize. Yeah,
maybe Arizona was the baby.
I thought it was a movie about burning the state of Arizona.
Raising, that would be R-A-Z-I-N-G. That's the destruction.
I've never read it.
That's the chaos porn version.
Yeah, and that's what Nellie White did.
I'm going to make food.
When she asked Nick Mason.
I'm going to make food porn versions of movies. Right? So instead of
Goodwill humping.
Saving Private Ryan, it's going to be shaving Parmesan cheese.
Parmesan trying. I think that's a great idea. Okay, I'm writing down.
food porn parody?
Food porn parodies. Yeah, I
mean, so what's the Goodwill Hunting?
Goodwill Humping.
Goodwill Humping?
Yeah. Good. Honey. No.
Good. Wilted.
Hunting, hunting, humping.
Handkerchief.
Handkerchief. Good wilted handkerchief. Yes.
Yes, write this down. Write this down. This is such a good idea. Everyone listening agrees.
Movie porn parodies.
Yes. Honestly, this has been a really good episode.
Yeah, I've been having fun, Andy. Do you think we should go to three words from our listener?
Yeah, I'd love that.
Well, Andy, I'm so excited to bring you these three words from a person who supports us both emotionally and financially on our Patreon, which anybody can do by going to patreon.com/twointank.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Imagine that. You're able to affect our emotions from anywhere in the world.
I think it's
a technology.
I think it's essentially quantum.
It's essentially a hive mind.
Hive. Yes.
Quantum hive.
Yes. Quantum. I got some quantum hives right now.
Can either see where they are or how much they're itchy, but not both. It's kind of like that with itches.
No, you can't. See where they are by where you're itching.
Yeah, good point.
Andy, our listener today is Tyler Farrer.
But itches are able to quantum tunnel. They can move from one part of the body to another part of the body. Without passing through the intermediate space.
Always itching threes.
Is that also quantum?
Have you noticed that?
Always itching threes.
Yeah, if you get an itch that moves from one place
to another
after you've
place.
Scratched it to another place, you scratch that second one, there's going to be a third one,
yeah,
and then you're done.
That's great.
But if you're not done, you got another three to go to.
Mm.
Yeah. And if you become really obsessive about it, you never stop.
Let's make a parody of the seven-year itch called the seven-itch year. Mm. And it's where somebody gets itchy seven times in a year.
Andy, if we made parody movies, we could make movies really quick.
So quick.
Yeah.
Because they write themselves. Like that one about the itches that I just came up with.
Well, that's the story. It's got a clear ending. He finishes scratching the last one.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's probably getting close to the end of the year and he goes, I wonder if I'm going to get itchy again. And then you know how when you think about being itchy, it makes you itchy?
Makes you itchy.
Yeah. And then he goes, oh, well, that was the seventh
Even
one.
As he was saying that, Alistair, you scratched your head because I think thinking about being itchy. Now I'm doing it. Now I'm scratching my chin.
Yeah, I think all the listeners are
scratching
themselves.
Are you all scratching yourselves?
Are you all scratching?
If you're not, you're a psychopath. Now I've got another itch on my head. That's two.
Oh, whenever I hear about somebody being a psychopath, that makes me a psychopath. You know, being a psychopath comes in threes.
Mm. It's good that there's only a limited number of things that happens with for the human body. You know,
yawns,
itching. Maybe going to the toilet, sort of with the sound of water and stuff, making you want to do a wee.
Yeah, or wanting to like...
Although I don't know if that's really true.
Wanting to like self-destruct. You know that? You know, like, you see somebody, like, drinking loads of booze like that, and they're having a good time?
Mm.
Or, like, they're just, like, they're injecting themselves with lots of delicious drugs.
Delicious drugs.
No, but I don't... There's no tongue on the inside of your vein.
There is no.
I've never done any intravenous drugs. I just want you to know that, and I don't want anybody to think that I actually think that intravenous drugs are delicious.
Cool or great or delicious.
No.
They're not.
I actually find that not drinking and things like that a lot of times is actually... You tap into more of the natural insanity of just being sober and the craziness of...
And that's good.
Yeah.
And cheap.
And it's goddamn cheap. Except all the time you spend doing things. That can be expensive.
Oh, yeah. Now you got all this stuff to do.
Yeah, because instead you're just lounging. Anyway, Andy, you know who our listener is today?
Who's our listener?
I said it before, but you didn't register it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tell me again, please.
TF.
Tyler Ferrer.
Yeah, that motherfucker.
Yes. Tyler, you bad boy.
Yeah, he's the bad boy of three-word suggestions.
Uh-huh.
And also...
How great is it that three-word suggestions is three words?
I love that. And that's why I came up with it.
Is that onomatopoeia?
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. All right, here's his three words. Do you want to try and guess what one of them will be? There's no
cloaca.
Reason. No, there's no reason why you would guess it.
Okay. Well, that's a clue. Lagerphone?
No, you're wrong.
Miriam.
My God, you're so wrong. You're getting further away. Just try one more just to see if you can get worse.
Parapet.
Oh, my God. Disgusting. I don't even think one of those letters was in any of the things. Nah, at least one of them was. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Ladle.
Yep.
Biathletes.
Yep.
Top knot.
Ladle, biathletes, top knot. Okay, what do we got here? We got the ladle. We got the biggest of the spoons.
Oh, absolutely. Right? We got the biathlete, which is either the athlete who does two sports or the athlete who does two genders.
Mm. Well, they could maybe both.
Mm.
Or would that make them a bye-bye athlete?
Well,
bye bye, athlete.
See you later, athlete.
So long.
Oh, I loved how you pronounced the G at the end of that.
I thought of a great thing that I would say if I was a lawyer.
Yeah.
Right? And if I was a lawyer working to defend major companies.
Yeah, major ones.
Yeah. You know, against like the little guy. So I'm working for the man.
Okay.
Right? And I'm a real cunt.
And you are a man as well.
And I am a man.
Yeah.
Working for a man. So it's the patriarchy as well.
Yeah.
All right? This is what I'd say at the end if I'd won a case.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, see you later, litigator.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah? Do you reckon anyone's ever said that in court?
I don't think so.
Such a missed opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. See you later, litigator. I think that's really good. And so is the litigator the person who's suing?
I think so, yeah.
Someone
who's litigates.
Yeah, right.
Quite litigious.
But you know what? You as a big company could also be
A litigator?
A litigator.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that sometimes you'll be in that position, and maybe you can come up with a cool saying for when you, like, here I go, litigator. I'm a litigator.
Yeah, well, I guess it'd have to be a version of In a Wild Crocodile, wouldn't it?
Or it could just be, this litigator will see you ligalator.
Yeah?
Ligalator? I don't know if ligalator is great, but...
See you in court. Practicing torts.
There you go. Nah. Which one is torts?
I don't know, but also I don't care.
Well, okay, great. All right. So we got ladle, bye-bye athlete, and top knot. Now, top knot is the hairstyle of some athletes, often sumo wrestlers.
Oh, yeah.
But also samurai. But is being a samurai a sport? Sword fighting is a type of sport. I guess being a killer who's armed with a sword, which is sort of sword is used in sports, so it's sort of like applied sports.
Applied sports. Mm. Yeah, I guess you're right. Well, war in a lot of ways is applied sports.
War is applied sports. It's running.
Mm-hmm.
It's
teamwork.
Teamwork. It's diving.
It's wearing uniforms.
Yeah,
diving.
Yeah, well, some diving out of the way of a ballistic.
Yeah.
Thing. What are they called again? Those, the ones that they're always
just artillery.
Artillery. Mm. You know what?
What are the ones that go, phoom, and they shoot them up, and they're just that little tube, and you drop a thing in, and then it goes, phoom, up,
phunk.
Yeah, maybe a bit of that.
But it's kind of, there's a sound of it going in and bouncing back up. You kind of had it with you, I think.
Oh, thanks. I'm not going to try again. It's a mortar. Mortar.
A mortar.
Yeah, firing those mortars. Well, that's
what I wanted. Artillery, what, I don't even know what artillery looks like.
Artillery is like a big gun.
It's just a big gun.
One of those huge guns that have those wheels and you pull them behind a truck or something and then they go, shoom.
Right.
They sort of recoil and that sort of thing and they fire.
Yeah, right.
Launch those huge things and then the things explode.
You know, I think I've always just pictured trebuchet
for artillery.
Yeah,
man, your mental pictures are way out of date.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to download some sort of firmware thing.
Do you think they're still
using new artwork?
Do they still use artillery, or are they just down to the mortars now?
No, well, mortars are just. I think mortars might be some sort of form of very small artillery, but they would absolutely still be using big guns and that sort of thing. I mean, maybe it's a lot of rocketry now, and I'm not sure if rocketry still counts as artillery. Those ones are shung, shung, shung.
Because then why would you? Because those slow artillery, they seem like they're slow.
See, the artillery that I'm picturing, and see, maybe mine is out of date as well, Alistair, because I'm picturing ones that are launched by an explosion in the gun. But then I think the rocketry are the ones that have got, a rocket engine inside the missile.
Yeah, and having something that blows up seems like it's better than just something that kind of hits
just
an area.
Just a huge lump of stuff
that
just smashes into the ground, which I'm sure would do heaps of damage, but still... I guess something that blows up.
But then I guess the Chinese now have that rail gun.
What's that?
It's like the one that's based entirely off of an electric charge.
Oh, yeah.
And you just you use some electric charge and you can make things go 200 kilometers.
That seems good. That would be safer for you.
For you, yeah. Unless you were touching it and standing in a puddle.
Oh, no. In front of it as well.
Yeah, in front. That would be damaging. But then again, it seems weird to kind of go back to just launching projectiles, because they were like, "Oh, this is really going to change the game." That this was ship of China's had the
rail
gun.
It's a ship, is it?
Yeah, the ship has the gun. A lot of the biggest guns were initially on ships, and then I think maybe in the First World War, the Germans started building some that they could just walk along. But they normally, because you have to set them in concrete and things like that, that was a bit problematic. But they found themselves to be useful. Anyway, I listened to a podcast on the First World War.
I guess this is my way of telling you that I listened to a podcast on the First World War. But one of the great things about one of those rail guns, right, is that now you can fire all sorts of stuff, because you've got it's done with electricity. Anything that can any ferromagnetic material.
Yeah.
Now you could launch it. So like one of those park benches, you know,
with
the ornate wrought iron or something, a washing machine.
Mm.
See?
Washing machine.
Yeah, it's a word that we discovered sounds very Chinese.
Yeah, it sounds, but it's an English word. If you say it
wrong.
Washing
machine. So,
look, I think there is one, the element of war being applied sports.
Mm.
I mean, you don't have to kick a ball, but you do have to get things into a goal, like a bullet, but the goal is
ahead.
There
are targets, aren't there?
Yeah.
The goal is ahead.
Yeah.
Just think of the head as the goal.
And the bullet as the soccer ball.
Yeah.
That you shoot with your hand.
Yeah. Well, the gun is your leg.
Eh?
The gun is your leg.
The gun is...
And you know when you want to kick something somewhere, how you look down your leg to line it up with whatever?
Well, look, no. I think it's like you're... The gun. Oh yeah, the gun is your leg. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yes.
So I thought you were saying your leg is a gun, and I was like, that doesn't make any sense. But then you said, look
this
down.
This thing that you're not saying is insane,
Andy. But Andy, you said, you know how you look down? And then I was like, yeah, okay, so now you're looking down at your leg, and your leg is a gun.
No, that was a joke.
Yeah, I know. Well, you do kind of look down at the ball when you kick.
I don't.
Oh my God, you fucking psychopath.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be great in applied sports. So the head is the goal, the bullet is the ball, the gun is your leg, and then you, because you're not, but you're still, you're touching your leg with your hand. So, and I think I was trying to say that you are actually shooting it with your hand, which means then you get a penalty, because in soccer you're not allowed to
touch ball with your hand.
And the penalty is you feel guilty
about taking a life. Yeah. A red card, but the color red is still red.
Yeah.
But the card is the mist that comes down over your eyes when you come home from war, and the slightest irritation sends you into a paranoid psychotic episode because of post-traumatic stress.
PTSD.
Yeah.
Sends you off, off the rails. Rail guns, Chinese ship, washing machine.
yes, Al. Are you going to write something down?
I'm just going to write war is applied sports.
Okay, sure.
I mean, look, I know you're not 100% sold on it because it doesn't feel like it's an entire game sketch. But think about it's a military leader. And he's saying this to a group of infantry.
Right,
this is what you've been training for.
No, you're right. That is quite funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, climbing.
I think it's great that, you know, I think it's interesting them just taking people straight out of sports and putting them straight into the field because they are still a field as well.
It's still a field.
It's amazing. The similarities are, you know, multiple.
Yeah.
At least four.
Battlefield. Soccer field to the same place.
Soccer field or soccer court?
Course?
Soccer course.
Squash field?
Squash field? Oh, outdoor squash.
Yeah. You just pick somebody, hit the ball, and it just goes. And then they walk for a bit, they get it, hit it again. Just two guys who were, you know, just on their lunch break from working in the office.
That is, like, do you reckon squash is the only sport that doesn't work outdoors?
Let's hear.
I think we could be onto something here.
Bocce does.
Bocce?
Yeah.
Let's tick them off.
Okay. I mean, darts.
That would still work outdoors.
It would work outdoors.
The target or something.
As long as you have the target, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there are any other sports that use the wall. I mean, racquetball, sure, but then that's just squash.
Squash, isn't it? Yeah, it's just
the same thing. Oh, well done, you found one.
Okay.
Racquetball. Okay. Oh yay. Yay,
oh,
everyone.
I'm so proud of you.
Oh, yeah. You made Andy look like a fool, didn't you? Oh, yeah. Well done.
I mean, I do like that part.
What part?
Oh, I loved everything that you said.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay. Well, I think that's enough sketches for today, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah?
Do you want me to read through them?
I'd love that.
Okay, we got hot case, case race.
Yeah.
Now look, I'm still going to say that there's two ideas here.
Sure.
There's the stronger, better idea of yours.
Thank you.
Which is that it's somebody who's, it's a couple of detectives that are finding open, ongoing investigations and that are being investigated by someone already. And then getting in there and trying to solve the crime before they do.
And, you know, you use the tropes of cold case, like, you know, going back and re-examining the evidence. Mm. But somebody's currently examining it and you come in and re-examine it. Yeah. Or you take it out of the evidence locker. You check it out while they're still hoping to use it.
Mm. You know, when you're in any of these kind of situations where you've got to find out stuff about an ongoing case, it really helps to have a friend in the DA.
Oh.
You know, you got to have a friend at the DA who can leak you some stuff.
Yep.
And
DA, what's that? Detective.
District.
Area.
Area. Detective area. That's where I'm at.
Mm.
And I'm my own friend. But then there's also the other idea of going back and solving cases that aren't cold cases, but that are from a long time ago. And... but they were solved and they caught the killer, but re-examining the evidence and seeing...
Well, that just sounds like a good idea, though. You know, like, especially if there's a reason to suspect that there was...
No, but that's the thing, is that there's no reason to suspect. I'm saying you go into things that look like clear-cut...
Yeah, like reinvestigate the great train robbery.
Sure.
See if Ronnie Biggs really was involved.
You know, my street isn't called Ronald Street, and then the next street along is called Biggs Street?
Really sus, isn't it?
Well, I think it might be named after that guy.
Do you think
guy.
There might be some gold buried?
Sorry, I wasn't surprised. I just forget to breathe in sometimes. Okay, next sketch idea is the new scientific method.
Yeah, it's based around debate.
Based around
a lot
debate.
Of shouting.
Shouting. Who?
Facebook likes.
Yeah, who has the most retweets or... Mm-hmm. or whether you've written your evidence in capitals, that mm-hmm, definitely helps. Mm-hmm.
Underlining things.
Underlining things.
Drawing red circles around photos from Google Maps and then an arrow and a big question mark. Mm-hmm.
Using
two photographs next to each other where the shape of one thing in one photograph looks like something totally different from like an old book.
Mm. Also referring... saying that certain things are true because it's common sense.
Yes. Mm. Common sense is a really big part of the new scientific method.
Then we got the rise of the mixologist. And that's, you know, mixologists obviously started in cocktails, but it's a field that has broadened. And now obviously, well, when they became mixologists, that's when they entered the medicine field. And then obviously now they're a big part of all science and...
Mm.
I mean, they're a religion. They're also a religion that is based on taste.
I wonder if there are any, like, I think people sort of have this debate around psychology and whether or not it's a true science.
Yeah.
I think, you know, mixologists probably cop a lot of the same flack.
I think you're right. But think about this. You know, people, you know, in most traditional religions, this is going to be like, mixology is just basically becoming the broadest of fields.
Mm.
It spans, I guess, kind of like the Buddhists have kind of attempted to do, where they say like,
oh, yeah, sure, they try.
They've attempted to kind of go like, well, yeah, actually, a lot of the ideas that they're discovering in quantum physics, that stuff that we talk about, and they go, oh, is that really okay? Great, that's great that you said some weird random stuff, and then it just turned out that there was some basis in science. Anyway, I say a lot of stuff too, and some stuff accidentally turns out to be true.
If you say enough stuff.
Yeah. That's what I was kind of saying about magma. I was trying to explain different ideas that we had in magma the other day.
Magma's our show that we're doing at the upcoming Melbourne International Comedy Festival. If you haven't bought tickets already, that's okay. There's still time
and you can
and
buy
you're
some
not
now.
Alone. Lots of people haven't bought tickets. Don't feel bad.
It goes from the March 26th to April 21st.
And it's going to be so good.
That's right. And I was saying to somebody, I was like, look, and then we've got this idea for kind of twist, right there. You know, near the end, he goes, "Whoa, that's a crazy amount of journey to travel for that joke." And I go, "Well, that's the thing. When you have so much weird stuff in one show, you can accidentally say things and it's linked to something else in the show. And it seems like you were really clever and connected everything. But actually, you just have a lot of stuff in your show."
It's always going to seem like something's connected to something else.
That's right.
If you say enough things in an hour.
The only thing I was going to say about the mixologist religion is that a lot of regular religions, people have visions.
Yep.
But in this one, people have tastings. They go, "A taste came to me in a dream last night. I think it was cranberry." What do you think it means?
Savior.
Savory.
Savory. Flavier.
Flavier. Savior. The Flavier. Or it's about a guy. This is just...
Savor it. That's a good word, isn't it?
I'm just trying to come up with accordion to you again, but with a guy who's come up with a shirt called Savior the Flavier. Anyway, he plays the accordion.
Savor it, Alistair. S-A-V-O-U-R-I-T-E. Yeah. Like favorite, but savory.
Oh, yeah.
What's your savorite?
What's yours? Yeah, that's good, Andy. You should work for a marketing department.
I will. I do. I came up with another one.
Offcuts of communion wafers.
Flavor lunch. I don't know if that's been used by anybody. I'm sure it has.
It's got to be. Flavor lunch.
Yeah? No, you're right. We'll pronounce it your way.
Yeah. Because for me it doesn't work. Flavor lunch. Oh. I was at a ski resort the other day and there was an avor lunch. You know, I say flavor. Anyway, offcuts the communion wafers. There's that, you know, just these people. And what's in that? Was it Jesus' toe?
Nail.
There could be nails in there.
Probably. Had to get those out.
Freshly washed finger ice cream flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You know, it's just...
Yeah, that's the base.
It's a great idea. That's going to be the new standard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what it made me think of before. You know, I was thinking about eating that finger-flavored ice cream with a spoon. What about this? It's an Indian food that is fingers, but you eat it with your hand, but your hand is curry.
Oh, God, Alistair, that's the most Alistair thing you've ever said.
Yeah?
Yeah. And... Like that's
so you mean you really like it?
This feels like something from a Treehouse of Horror episode or something on The Simpsons.
You know? Oh, yeah. No, but I think maybe it'd make a great comic.
I don't think there are any foods in which you eat one thing, but then your hand is food.
Yeah, right.
There's no quizzy. There's no room in the food world for a thing where your hand is the food.
Well, how about this idea?
But you think you're eating is your hand.
Because that's what's crazy, is that your hand is meat. Right? Your hand is meat and bone, obviously. And that's going to be fine. That could survive without you. Right? But the meat part...
We'll be fine. I'm a bone, by the way. Oh, we don't need you. We'll be fine. All right? I'm a bone. We don't need any of this. I'm trying to help you out here, but I don't need any of this.
I'm the meat, and I definitely need you. Okay, that's some good role play. We really learned a lot from having
Ben Russell on the show.
So how about this? It's a meal where your hand soaks in this kind of marinade while you eat some other thing with a straw or whatever. You're just kind of sucking up some stuff with a straw.
Yeah.
And then eventually you take your hand out of the marinade and the marinade has cooked it. It's like that lime marinade.
It's cooked your hand. It's sort of pickled.
It's pickled it. And then you eat your hand.
You know what? I hate this idea.
I know, but don't you think the chef would be seen as a genius? And if you don't eat your hand, no one will say that about them.
And if you don't eat your hand, no one will say that about them.
Yeah.
What?
The chef would be considered a genius if you ate your hand after you soaked it in that marinade. But if you don't eat your hand, then no one's going to say that they're a genius because they're like, well, it's an impractical thing. And things like that. So you are making this selfish decision to not eat your hand to prevent this chef from being getting called
a hack.
What he's wanted to be called his whole life.
You're right.
A genius.
You're right. That's why I got into cooking.
And so it's a chef who either turns you into food or into a jerk. But either way,
it's
you
a
leave
transformative
this,
experience.
It's a transformative, and you leave the experience different.
Mm.
That's what transformative means. Unless you transform from yourself into another version of yourself who's exactly the same.
But it's still a transformation.
Okay. Where was I? Food porn parodies of movie porn parodies.
Yeah.
And then we got, I've written the word breeding finger. And then war is applied sports.
Yep.
And then also the people in the war have a top knot.
Great. And a ladle.
And a ladle. I think when saying that when we were talking about that, I was thinking about samurai that have a ladle instead of a...
Oh, that's quite good, though.
Yeah.
Big spoon. I think also the diving, the fake diving in soccer.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to try and bring that into war.
Mm.
You know? Somebody pretends to have been shot, right?
That's good.
Or they get shot a little bit, but then they act like they've been shot heaps.
Yeah.
And then the enemy's coming over and being like, oh, are you okay? And that sort of thing.
Mm.
And then they're rolling around on the ground, like clutching their stomach, even though it only grazed like the side of their waist or something.
Yeah,
right.
Clutching their whole stomach. Yeah. That's fucking so stupid.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's great, Andy.
Thanks.
Bim diddy bada biddy boom 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 diddy boody 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 boom.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. We really do appreciate it. You can find me on Twitter at @StupidOldAndy. You can find us on Twitter at @2inTank.
And I'm at @AlistairTB. You can always continue to listen to the show if you want and not stop. And you can always get other people to listen to it as well. And you can review it, and you can donate to the Patreon if you want. But if not, you can always just keep being you and not worry about any of that stuff and just feel good.
I'm going to put a link in the show notes to our show at the Comedy Festival, which I haven't done up until this point.
Great. And
there's also a link down there for Alistair's new podcast.
Thank you so much.
And for our merchandise.
Oh, yeah. You can get shirts and stuff.
Yeah.
And clocks.
Yeah.
And just remember, if you feel bad, a lot of the time it's because you just haven't drunk enough water.
That is the thing that Alistair has taught me, and it's been transformative in my life. Right now, I could use a glass. I'm going to go get one.
I transformed. As a chef, I transformed him into a better version of him.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we
love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.